This is an encore presentation of Faith and Finance.
The definition of synergy is two things put together, having an effect greater than the sum of the parts. I am Rob West. Synergy can play a beneficial role in family finances. A case in point is an ABLE account, working together with a special needs trust for a person with disabilities. Matt Severson joins us today to talk about it. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest today is Matt Severson. Matt is a certified financial planner and certified kingdom advisor in Overland Park, Kansas. He's also well-versed in helping families who have children with special needs make the most of their financial options. Matt, this is an important topic, and we're grateful to have you back to talk about it.
Yeah, so great to be back with you on Faith Fire, Rob, and looking forward to today's discussion. It's near and dear to my heart, so happy to be here.
I know it is. And Matt, we're discussing, as we've said, how an ABLE account can work with a special needs trust. Let's look at each one individually to start with. And so why don't we begin with the ABLE account? Why would a family want to set one up?
Yeah, good question. So the ABLE account is only about 10 years old. So some of your listeners may not even heard about it yet, but it's available for people with special needs that are either on SSI or Medicaid, have an asset limit restriction, but still want the ability to work. So the ABLE account allows folks to work and save for themselves rather than being limited to the government restrictions. Okay. Supplemental security income is only about $943 a month, and you can't have any more than $2,000 of assets to your name. So, I mean, imagine any one of us on the call trying to live on $943 a month and have no more than $2,000 of assets. That's very difficult to do. The ABLE account expands the ability for folks to work and save and manage their money.
Yeah, that's really helpful. And I think an important tool for those families caring for a child with disabilities. Now, how does a special needs trust work, and perhaps how are they different?
Yeah, so special needs trusts have been around for over 30 years, so much longer track record for them. Those are also designed to store dollars for the person with special needs that won't short-circuit their government benefits. The nice thing about special needs trusts is you're allowed to hold all kinds of different assets, from cash to investments to houses and cars and IRAs and Roth IRAs, where ABLE accounts can only receive cash in and can only send cash out. That's a very big distinction between the two. But we need both of them to work together during the lifetime of the person.
Yeah. And obviously the special needs trust, more complexity, that means probably a little more involved in setting it up and therefore a bit more cost, right?
Yeah. So there's some cost for the attorney to put it together for you, no doubt about it, but we want that done correctly and done right the first time. But once the special needs trust is built, then it's up to you and or the trustee and possibly the investment advisor to keep that going for the person with special needs over time. That account could be anywhere from tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands to into the seven figures, depending on what the family left behind for the person with special needs. Where the ABLE account, it can't go past $100,000 at any one time. Mm.
Yeah, so at the end of the day, the objectives are the same for an ABLE account and a special needs trust. We're going to talk after the break about how combining them is really helpful and can be beneficial to a family. But Matt, at the core of both of these is the idea that we want to set funds aside for the benefit of the special needs child, even through adulthood, but not preventing them from getting government assistance, correct?
That's absolutely it. That is what you're trying to do. The phrase is called, we're trying to supplement their needs, not supplant the government benefits. You'll see that phrase in your special needs trust. That's the point. And these are both time-tested and true over time, that they work great. We just got to set them up properly and use them well.
Yeah, and interestingly, that ABLE account is actually built on the 529 chassis, isn't it?
That's correct. It's kind of a sister account to those college savings 529 plans.
Yeah, which is very simple to set up.
Well, Matt Severson is with us today. He's a certified financial planner and a certified Kingdom advisor, and we're talking specifically about helping families who have children with special needs and how these two great tools can work together. Somewhat of a specialized topic, but a really important one. We're off today, so please hold your phone calls. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Our bodies are mortal. We try not to think about it, but we're not guaranteed another day. So there's wisdom in James 4:14, which says, "Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." It's not intended to be discouraging. It's a motivation. Every moment counts. Today is a gift. It's from God. And now is the time you've been given to live for the glory of God. Let this shape the way you work, the way you love your family, the way you serve others around you, and the way you walk with the Lord Jesus. You'll grow in your daily walk with Jesus through time in His Word. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
You look at three of the four justices there in Colorado that voted to remove him from the ballot. They all came from Ivy League schools, schools that had been created as divinity schools. What a picture of the apostasy in America when it comes to the church.
Stay informed with Tony Perkins and his guests on Washington Watch, weekdays at 4 p.m. Central on AFR, or catch up anytime with the podcast at afr.net.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Delighted to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. With me today, my good friend Matt Severson. Matt is a certified financial planner and a certified Kingdom advisor in Overland Park, Kansas. He's also well-versed in helping families who have children with special needs. And today we're talking about two powerful tools that you can use to save for a child with special needs, both as an adolescent child as well as an adult, but not preventing them from receiving government assistance. We've mentioned before the break, Matt, an ABLE account, which is kind of newer on the scene, as well as a special needs trust. In a moment, we're going to talk about how these two things can work together in a complementary way. But let's unpack the features of each of them first, starting with that ABLE account.
Yeah, so some key features of the ABLE account go like this. First of all, you need to declare a permanent disability prior to the age of 26. Okay. So it could be blindness. I have a daughter with Down syndrome. It could be autism. There's a myriad of different disabilities that a child can either be born with or develop. One quick point is in January 1st of 2026, the age of onset is up to 46. So I know that's a lot of numbers flying around, but right now it's 26. In about a year, it's going to go to the age of 46. So it's going to make it available for many more people.
Yeah.
Okay. The point of the ABLE, remember, it stands for Achieving a Better Life Experience. That's the acronym. Yes. Is for those that are able to work, but they've had these asset restrictions and can't squirrel away dollars. Now the ABLE gives them that outlet to be able to do that. So they can make contributions up to the amount that they're earning that year, along with others can contribute to it as well on their behalf. Some states allow for a state tax deduction similar to that college savings 529 plan. It's going to be a very similar deduction amount. And you can contribute to this over their lifetime up to the total maximum that 529 plans allow, which is usually in the hundreds of thousands over someone's lifetime. But a key distinction is you can't go past a $100,000 balance at any one time. If you do, we've seen how their Medicaid or their supplemental security income stops temporarily until you get that balance back down. Okay. And then they let you keep going again. So it's not a permanent disconnection. It's just a temporary. Get that balance back under 100, then keep going. Okay. These ABLE accounts can pay for virtually anything for the person with disabilities, both as a minor as well as an adult. Importantly, it can cover food and rent, which in a moment we'll talk about. Special needs trusts are not supposed to cover that. There's some consequences to that. We talk about avoiding the vices with the ABLE. You shouldn't pay for cigarettes and alcohol and gambling tickets, things like that. So don't do that. But all the other things that improve the person's life, go for it. Okay, but there's one last word of caution with the ABLE accounts based on your state. Is there something called a Medicaid clawback provision? So let's pretend your family member with disabilities has been under Medicaid for years and years and years, and then they pass away. There's potentially a bill yet to pay back to Medicaid if something happens to you. If there's a balance in the ABLE account and your state doesn't have a no clawback provision, it's possible that they're going to come asking for the balance to shore up that bill before the rest is released to the family, okay? Mm. Now, in the state of Kansas, our legislature specifically not allowed the Medicaid clawback. So that's helped folks in Kansas settle down a little bit. Well, I don't want to put all this money in here, and then if it's just going to go back to Medicaid.
Sure.
It's okay. There's our state and others have taken care of that.
Okay.
So there's just a word of caution about that to be aware of in your state.
Yeah, that's helpful. All right. I know there's a fewer features with regard to the Special Needs Trust, but anything we need to know about?
Yeah. So the Special Needs Trust is more open architecture in terms of you can hold any types of assets in there. Someone else is probably setting it up for the person with disabilities. That's called a third-party settled trust. There's attorneys involved. There's trustees involved. There's investment advisors involved. There could be separate tax returns involved. But the good news about them is you can hold just about anything you can think of within them, just like any other trust that we have here in the United States. And you can specifically designate who gets these resources when the person with disabilities passes away. So my wife and I, we have four children. Well, one of them has Down syndrome. The other three are typically developing children. So when we pass away, X amount is going into Lily's special needs trust.
Yes.
Once she passes away, then it's clearly going to the next three children equally, in equal distribution. Well, where the ABLE account, you can't really say who it goes to next until Medicaid has had their shot at it before it gets to the family. So the Special Needs Trust is much more protective to your family's estate plan on the back end of all this when the person passes away.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Well, I think we're beginning to get a picture as we hear about some of the features of each of how they're going to be really powerful together. So let's go there next. How can combining them work to a family's benefit?
So the ABLE account is perfect for those day-to-day expenses, and especially if someone's able to work and squirrel away dollars and save for the future, especially if they're bumping into a $2,000 asset limit, that's a great place to put the dollars. Yeah. And then they'll get a debit card, and so they can literally go to the store either by themselves or with their guardian or their helpers and use the debit card at the store very simply. Whereas the special needs trust is more complicated. Someone's got to make sure there's cash available to spend from the trust. There's more moving parts with the special needs trust that make it harder to deal with on a day-to-day basis, but certainly there for the person. The other thing to keep in mind is only cash can come in and out of the ABLE, where you can literally transfer stock, you can transfer cars, houses, rental properties into special needs trust. So it just makes it more flexible for what the family's resources are designed to do. But here's an important distinction on when to use the special needs trust for the ABLE. Right. If someone's on supplemental security income, the $943 a month, and SSI finds out that the special needs trust is paying for rent and food, which is an acceptable thing for the special needs trust to pay for, they'll actually say, oh, you don't need this much SSI, so we're actually going to reduce your monthly payment because you have this this nice big special needs trust over here, okay? Yes. So this is a perfect place for the ABLE account to step in, handle rent, pay for food. Whether you're going to the convenience store or the grocery store, that can easily handle the food needs of the person with special needs, where the special needs trust probably shouldn't do that. The other concept is, because now with the ABLE, we can work and save money from our earnings, even though as you make more and more income, if they're capable, your supplemental security income will decrease appropriately, because now you're working, so that's okay. Yes. But now we have a place to put those earnings up to about the mid-20,000s per year, depending on your earning potential. So just a great outlet for people to operate more typically, like others that are trying to work and save for the future. This gives them the ability to do that, where the special needs trust has the place to park the dollars and use the dollars, but not nearly as interactive in their day-to-day working life.
Yeah, very good. So it's really critical to bring some planning to the table so you can look at this in light of your overall financial picture. And that's where an advisor can help alongside an attorney. Well, Matt, we've covered a lot of ground today. So thankful for your time. We appreciate you stopping by.
Yep, you're very welcome, Rob. Great to be here, and hope that everybody can achieve a better life experience with what we've talked about today.
Amen. That's Matt Severson, Certified Financial Planner and Certified Kingdom Advisor at Sound Stewardship, an independent financial planning firm in Overland Park, Kansas. You can learn more at soundstewardship.com. That's soundstewardship.com. All right, we'll be right back, so don't go anywhere.
You're listening to an encore presentation of Faith and Finance with Rob West. Please remember that our program today is pre-recorded, so our phone lines are not open. We're going to pause now for a brief break, and then we'll be back with more Faith and Finance.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. We aim to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
Thank you for standing with the American Family Association.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
American Family Association President Tim Wildman.
Dad was concerned about the direction America was headed, and he was determined to do something about it. Maybe that describes you today. If it does, I want to strongly encourage you to consider a charitable gift annuity to American Family Association Foundation.
Call the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Hey, before we head to the phones, let me remind you, Faith and Finance is listener-supported. Our FaithFi partner program is a key part of how we fund this ministry as you partner with us and kind of get in the boat with us and rowing together to share God's principles of stewardship with a culture that increasingly is not living by a biblical worldview. And we see that, I think, most clearly in this area of money and money management. Our FaithFi partner program is those who support the FaithFi at $35 a month or more. And we're really excited to be able to offer some compelling thank yous when you do that. First is a pre-release copy of all of our studies and devotions. We have been and plan on producing 3 per year. We came out with our first study on Luke 12 called Rich Toward God in the spring. We launch our new devotion called Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotion on fear and anxiety from a biblical worldview. It's beautiful. We think it'll be a real encouragement to you, and we have some incredible resources planned in the months ahead. Also, we launch our brand new publication in the first quarter of next year, a beautiful 48-page digest that will just immerse you with wonderful content, interviews, articles on biblical finance that I think will be a real encouragement to you. All of that comes to your door when you're a FaithFi partner. Head over to faithfi.com and you can become a partner today. It's a great way to support the ministry at $35 a month or more. Just go to faithfi.com and click give. Thanks in advance. All right, let's head to the phones. We've got a lot of ground to cover here in the remainder of the broadcast. Going to Chicago next, Betty, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hello, hi. I was calling. I was just wondering what advice you would give to someone like myself. I'm a single mom, and I am just now learning about the importance of stewarding my finances. And I was just wondering if, I guess you were in my shoes, would you start with like a savings account to put away money, or what advice would you give?
Thank you. It's a great question, Betty, and I appreciate that so much. You know, the recognition that we are stewards is really fundamental, and that presupposes that we know that God owns everything, which sounds like we all should know that. And yet, you know, so often, and myself included, we don't live like that. But I think when we understand, okay, all of it belongs to God. It's not just that 10% is His, 100% is His. And He's given me this privilege, this high calling of stewarding His resources, and that money is a good gift, even though it has the potential to become an idol in our life. And Tim Keller, the late Tim Keller, said in his book, Counterfeit Gods, it's probably the most common counterfeit God. And yet when we put it in its proper place as a tool to accomplish His purposes, and we placed our trust in Him, and God is our ultimate treasure, not the things of this world, well, then we can enjoy it the way it was intended to be enjoyed, as we provide and as we give and as we invest. I mean, all the things that I think are God-honoring. The starting place for that is really that spending plan, because it's the working out, Betty, on a daily basis of how do we take God's money, the limited resources we have, and allocate it in a way that aligns with our values and our priorities. So what is most important to you? And let's make sure that the way we handle money
tells that story appropriately. And so, you know, the very practical way we work that out is through what we call a budget or a spending plan, where we give kind of every dollar a name, if you will, and decide where it's going to go in advance. And that's going to include, you know, the daily bills that you get, you know, in the mail or online. It's also going to include that discretionary spending where you don't get a bill. You know, it's the food budget and it's the clothing budget and it's the, you know, vacation budget, you know, when we can, and entertainment and, you know, gifts for family and friends. We put it all together and we come up with a spending plan. And that plan has to not only balance where we don't have more outgo than income, but it really should be living on less than we earn, because that surplus is what's going to be key to you being able to, you know, do more giving or saving for the future or paying down debt. But it all starts with that spending plan. So I think that really is the first step. Or would you prefer to do something in a smartphone app, or would you rather a paper and pen approach?
Well, I appreciate both. I did download the FaithFi app that you recommended on your program.
Okay, good. Let's do this. If you're interested, I'd be happy to have one of our certified Christian financial counselors connect with you and help you get it set up and make sure you've got a sounding board there with somebody who can answer any questions you have. If that's of interest to you, hang on the line after and we'll get your information and get somebody in touch with you. There won't be any charge to that. In terms of the priorities, I mean, I think, Betty, it's important to think about what's important to you and then make sure that your money management decisions reflect that. So kind of some of the most obvious, you know, options would be, number one, if you don't have an emergency fund of 3 to 6 months expenses, that's probably the very first place to begin. I'd set up a separate savings account, begin funding that until you build it up. Once you get that in place, we're looking at debt. Do you have any high interest consumer debt? If so, we need to prioritize getting that paid off. If it's just maybe a car or a student loan and you're on track to pay that, that's great. You may want to just continue that. Then beyond the emergency fund, we need to be thinking about setting aside money for the long term. We typically start with either an IRA or maybe a company sponsored retirement plan like a 401k at work. We also want to make sure that we have some systematic giving built into that plan as well. And we may start somewhere and then hope to increase that over time. But give me your thoughts on all of those things that I mentioned and perhaps which is the priority.
Yes, sir. So I've started, I don't have a car note anymore. I pay my car off and I've started paying down my credit card debt. So what I did last month was I paid off my credit card, and my goal was to pay all of my bills and all of the spending for my credit card and just pay it off at the end of the month, so I can just keep tabs on, you know, how my spending is going.
Yes.
And then as far as, like, I obviously give to the church, and then I have a 401k through my job. I work
for You're doing a great job, Betty. I love it. That's phenomenal. Well, let's do this. I'm up against a break, so I want you and I to finish off the air, and then I'm also going to connect you with somebody, to the extent you want to, who can walk alongside you. We'll be right back.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Today's issues.
At the bottom of the hour, Jenna Ellis will be with us, host of the Jenna Ellis in the Morning program. And then Dr. Alex McFarland, co-host of Exploring the Word, will be with us at 10:45. So I'm just saying, if Tim and Ed
don't cut it,
that we've invited guests on this hour so that you can listen to them.
That's right.
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you overwhelmed by financial fear and anxiety? You're not alone. At FaithFi, we hear it every day. People weighed down by worries related to wealth and money. But financial anxiety isn't about the size of your bank account. It's about the condition of your heart. That's why we've created Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional that'll help you find peace through Jesus' teachings. Replace your financial anxiety with peace today. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and start your journey today.
When you hear this...
This is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
So thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Betty and I had a delightful conversation during that break. And, you know, one of the things she articulated is she said, you know, I've made some mistakes in the past. And one of the ways I've dealt with some of the hurt and pain in my life, and I think so many of us can resonate with this, is spending. You know, when things aren't going well, I would just find myself spending frivolously. I don't want to do that anymore. And, you know, we talked about a couple of things. Number one is accountability. The role of accountability in your financial life is huge. And if you're married, you know, you can have accountability there. If you're not, you know, often seeking somebody else, a friend or a trusted accountability partner, maybe from church, that where you all could hold each other accountable. You know, we all know what we gravitate toward when things aren't going well and we're discouraged and Satan's working overtime to tempt us or discourage us. And often for many of us, it can be, you know, financially related, the spending that happens when we find ourselves in those places. So having that accountability is key. And then that spending plan is also key. It's really the guardrails that keeps us on the plan that we feel like we've prayed about and truly reflects what's most important to us, not just haphazard spending where our money finds its way to places that we don't even really care about, but an intentional plan where we say, you know what, barring something coming out of left field, and those things will happen, this is where I'm going to spend my money, and I'm not going to go outside of it. And I think having that plan and that accountability are key to being able to live as that faithful steward that we all want to be, and yet from time to time, we just don't live up, and we just try to stay on that track and do the best we can. And that's one of the reasons we want to encourage you with this program each day. All right, let's head to Michigan. Hi, Shane. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Appreciate your ministry. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
I'm calling today because my sister and brother-in-law have reached out to me requesting that I might add him as an authorized user on my credit card to help boost his credit during their process of trying to obtain a mortgage. I was wondering what your insights and thoughts were there. Generally, they're just struggling with finding a place to rent that they can afford, and recently were evicted. And for me, it kind of feels like they can't really afford to have a mortgage potentially. And it kind of seems a little deceitful trying to boost credit that way. But I was wondering if you had any thoughts, if you thought that was okay biblically or not.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you asked that, because really it's not a matter of the mechanics, because there is a mechanical way to do this where you're not really putting yourself at risk. I mean, technically, you could add your family member as an authorized user, and they never get the account number. They never get a card. There's not the risk that they could in any way, you know, go out and misuse that and charge up, you know, debts that can't be repaid. But you're really talking about kind of the ethical side of this, which is, I mean, you're in a roundabout way allowing him to borrow, so to speak, your good credit and your on-time payments, you know, to boost his own credit. It's true that that's the way the system was built, and that's just the way authorized users work. Whoever is the authorized user inherits the history of the person that they're, you know, on the account with, good and bad. So if you, you know, had a mispayment for yourself, that would translate over to his account in the same way your on-time payments will. But I think this is a conviction matter. I mean, I would pray through this. And if you feel a check in your spirit, and I've wrestled with this too, and I think I come down on the same side you do here, is that, you know, it's one thing, you know, if it's a spouse, it's another thing if it's somebody unrelated that's kind of benefiting from your credit that has nothing to do with the account. It just does something about that just doesn't seem right. And so I think perhaps what you could do is offer an alternative to him, which is a secured credit card, where he goes out and gets a credit card that's secured, and NerdWallet or Bankrate.com could give you a list of the top five fee-free, but where he would put a certain amount on deposit, like $200 or $300, they'd issue a credit limit against it. So they have no risk, because if he doesn't make the payment, they take the collateral. And then the real benefit comes from, you know, maybe he just puts an automatic recurring charge on there every month, something that was already budgeted, a utility charge or, you know, a subscription, something like that. He pays it off. Now he's, you know, getting the benefit of that on-time payment, and then he could build that over time. May not be quite as effective, but it would certainly get him going in the right direction. And, you know, I can understand why you're having some apprehension over this.
As far as him inheriting my credit, does it work in reverse where his credit affects me?
No.
And also, how long do you think it would take for that secure credit card to make any effect?
Yeah, you know, there's no way to know for sure because there's so many other factors here. I mean, the primary, you know, factor is credit payment history. So, you know, is he an on-time payer and for how long? And so what's working against him would be a lack of credit and then potentially any bad credit in the past. Although the further that gets in the past, the less it's going to affect him. But the biggest issue is probably just a lack of credit. But it's certainly going to help, and it can build quickly. I mean, I'd say if he, you know, opens one of those accounts, a secured credit card, you know, within 6 to 12 months, he, you know, could very easily see his score up, you know, 50 points or more. So it will start to make an impact. In terms of authorized users, you know, it doesn't pass both ways. It's only limited to that card. So as long as your credit card company reports history to authorized users, it will build his credit, but it doesn't in any way, you know, come back to you. It would be limited only to that single account, and you would be the only one, you know, that has access to that account.
Okay. And generally, that's why they made authorized users, was to pass credit on, or simply for...
No. Yeah, the purpose of an authorized user is normally we don't have joint credit cards. It's usually in the legal name of one person, and that person is the one solely responsible for ultimately paying it back. And the company has legal recourse against that person. The whole idea behind authorized user is it's just an easy way to grant someone else user privileges for the credit account. So it would most commonly be used with a spouse, where I have an account in my name and I make my wife an authorized user and vice versa. And then they just added to it the fact that also along with the ability to use it is, you know, the passing of the credit to the credit file. But that's not the design behind it. There are certain types of loans that are specifically for credit building. So one of them would be like he could Google this, a credit builder loan. where you actually have a loan. You're essentially paying interest to yourself minus a fee. And in exchange, they're reporting you as an on-time payer every month, because you are, you're paying it on time, although you're paying yourself back, and then it's being reported to your credit file. Does that make sense?
Makes sense. Thanks so much, Rob.
All right. God bless you, Shane. Thanks for calling today. Well, folks, we still have one more segment to go here, and looking forward to taking your calls and questions between now and the end of the program. I know we've got several holding, so we'll get to those right around the corner. By the way, if you'd like to check out our website, while you're there, you can download that app we were talking about, which will help you get your budget set up and download all your transactions automatically going into each of your digital envelopes so you can see where you stand at any point during the month. It's what Julie and I use to manage our finances. You'll find it at faithfi.com. We'll be right back.
When life feels good, we might assume we're experiencing the goodness of God. That's not wrong. But what if hardship, trial, and suffering comes? How can we see God's goodness and discover His purpose in those moments? I'm David Wolin. Join me all week on Haven Today for a series we're calling Do Not Lose Heart.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at AFR.net.
The Middle East, that's one part of the world we need to pay attention to, especially the country of Israel. Each week, I'll help you make sense of what's happening in that region through a biblical lens. I'll bring you important information about security threats, archaeological discoveries, biblical prophecy, ministries happening on the ground, and much more. I'm John Riley. Join me for the Middle East Report Special Edition every Saturday at 6:30 p.m. Central on American Family Radio as I connect you to the people, places, and geography of what we read in God's Word.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. Let's head right back to the phones here in our final segment. Odie is in Miramar. Go right ahead. All right. Looks like we've lost him. It's a great question. Let's see if we can get that line working. And let's go to Florida in the meantime and welcome Stephen. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. Yes, I was calling because I owe a lot of debt, personal credit and bills-wise, and I was trying to figure out how to get that in order.
Yeah, it's a great question. Stephen, what type of debt do you have?
Mainly medical, and then I have some, like, I owe cash advance, and then I have some, like, just bills, and then personal loans from, like, my friends.
Okay. Got it. And where are you at with regard to additional borrowing? I mean, so often when I hear things like cash advance loans, personal borrowing from friends, you know, normally there's a cycle involved there where, you know, it's really hard to break the cycle because we've got to live within our means. We've got to, you know, get the debt paid back. And, you know, do it in such a way where we don't continue to incur debt. So the first issue is really solving that problem that's going to lead to additional debt in the future. And then we can talk about what it looks like if we truly can say, okay, we're not doing that anymore. Now we can talk about the best way to get the debt that you have paid back. But talk to me about just kind of where you're at financially.
Well, financially right now, I've been doing the rideshare. I work every day, pretty much morning and day. I haven't borrowed any kind of money because last year I've gone to the Lord. I found the Lord, and I've been really conflicted about getting my loans paid back. So I've quit borrowing money, and I've been trying to budget and figure out who I should pay back and where I pay first, and just trying to figure all that out.
Praise God, Stephen. That's incredible. Man, I'm so excited for you. I'll tell you, that is the absolute most important thing, that you've met the Lord, that you've trusted him as your Savior. And now it's about stewardship, right? Managing what he's given to us. And part of that includes the financial resources he's entrusted to us. Here's what I'd like to do. I'm going to provide you somebody that can walk alongside you if you'd be willing to take advantage of it. We'll cover the cost on it, so it won't cost you anything. And this will be a certified Christian financial counselor who will help you. The first step is, you've already done the hard part with the budget. They can look it over and give you any ideas on how to establish a control system. Because once you have the budget down, that's one thing, but living on it is another. And you need to find the right system that works for you. It might be the FaithFi app. It might be kind of a physical envelope system, or a, you know, just a spreadsheet that you use, or a piece of paper. But you got to get a system that works for you to manage the money. The second step is to get a list of all of your assets and liabilities. And with the liabilities, the debt, who do you owe and how much do you owe? And then what is the interest rate, and then the payment schedule that you've agreed upon, whether that's a personal loan where you told the person, you know, how did you agree to pay it back? Same with the medical debt and the advances. And then once we have all that in place, then that person can advise you on, okay, let's develop a plan to get this paid back in the most effective manner, where you spend the least amount possible on interest. Would you be open to that kind of assistance?
Yeah, I am. I've been waiting for that call. I downloaded the FaithFi app.
Cool. Well, we're going to give you a 6-month pro subscription to that. So we'll get you set up with that so you can connect it to your accounts. And then I'm going to have a certified Christian financial counselor get in touch with you. Again, there won't be any charge for that. And they're going to help you, you know, schedule maybe a series of meetings over the internet or over the phone to just kind of help you get the plan in place. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Awesome. Stay right there, Stephen. We'll get your information and get somebody in touch with you. God bless you. Let's go to Tennessee. Hi, Christy. Go ahead.
Hi. I have a question about how to replenish my emergency fund. So we have depleted part of that. We had to do a new roof and some auto repairs and things. And then I am also having to pay some college tuition, and with inflation, I don't have a lot to be able to replenish that. So my thoughts was instead of investing in my 401k, even though I will lose my employer, instead
match.
Of, because I get, if we put in 6, they give us 3. If we lose that, but it would be able to allow me to replenish my emergency fund. Is that a good idea?
Yeah, you know, I hate giving up that free money, but I also think it's critical that you have an emergency fund. So I guess, you know, I don't want to get in a binary trap if there's a third option. So what you're telling me is that in order to get the full 3%, you have to put in a full 6. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And if you continue putting in the 6, you're pretty clear that you can't. There's no way to have any surplus with everything else you've got. You've taken a hard look at that budget. You looked at every opportunity to cut back, and you just don't believe you're going to be able to make any progress toward that emergency fund apart from cutting your retirement investment.
Unfortunately, that's what we're looking at. The inflation is really taken over my extra that we had.
I get it. Yeah, no, I certainly understand. What do you have in your emergency fund today? Is it at 0?
No, we have about $3,000 in there, so we've still got some, but we have used quite a bit replacing vehicle and a roof. So
yeah, and what do you spend on the typical month? Not where you have an unexpected expense, but just in an average month.
We are at about $9,000.
Okay, per month.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I think I would just challenge the idea that maybe there's places you can cut back. And if you've taken a hard look, and I mean, at the end of the day, you've got to make that call. But with $9,000 a month in spending, I would just question whether there's any other place you could cut back and, you know, just start with a blank slate and keep the roof, you know, over your head, keep the, you know, the mortgage paid, gas in the car, utilities on, and food on the table. But if everything else is negotiable, is there a way to dial back your spending in certain areas, cutting, you know, subscriptions and, you know, looking at eating in instead of out? But at the end of the day, if there's no other options, yeah, I think dialing, not pulling money out of the 401k, but temporarily dialing back what you're putting in so you can get up to, you know, at least 1 month's worth of expenses, I think would be great, if not two and ultimately three, and then restart the 401k at that point.
Right. Yeah. And hopefully by then I'll have some kiddos out of college that will also help with not paying college.
Hey, listen, I get it. I've got one there. At some point in the near future, I'm actually going to have three in college at once. And so I'm not looking forward to that day. I understand how difficult that can be, Christy. But listen, you guys got this. Hang in there. But yeah, I think you've got a great plan here.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for your call today. Let's see. We'll quickly go to Chicago and finish with Ben. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. I am working two jobs. I have a W-2 job and I have a 1099 job. So I'm thinking of purchasing a vehicle. My question is, since I'm not earning a lot on the 1099 job, my accountant said that if I'm not earning enough with that 1099 job, I can declare the vehicle, I can declare loss on that vehicle. So I was just wondering, like, what's the potential loss that I can declare to help with my taxes then, even if I'm not earning enough on or a lot with that 1099 job? And, like, what's the potential, like, amount of tax loss that I can get with it?
Yeah. And are you talking about leasing or buying a car?
Potentially buying.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I would trust your CPA for that. I mean, basically, tax deductions for business vehicles. I mean, you've got a couple of approaches you can take for that. You can either take the standard or the actual expense from year to year for a purchase vehicle. So you've got the standard mileage approach, which allows you to claim miles driven for business purposes on your federal taxes. And then you've got, you know, ultimately the, you know, sales tax, which you can deduct. So that would be one approach. The other is to, take a depreciation when you purchase a vehicle and, you know, you could depreciate it over time. But how you do that, I would rely on your CPA for that. And, you know, you have to make sure that you, you know, the portion that you're deducting is the portion that represents what it's being used for business purposes as opposed to personal purposes. So you just need to really track that and have a log so that you could defend that before the IRS if you were ever questioned on it. But clearly there are options, whether you take the standard mileage or whether you deduct actual expenses, there are options for you to, you know, have tax advantages in that. But you just need to make sure it's documented properly. And the extent to which that's going to be helpful to you when you have a loss, again, I would rely on that. I wouldn't want to get into the details on that here just because that does get pretty technical, and I'd rather you get the advice of a CPA on that, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. Well, folks, we covered a lot of ground today. Man, I really appreciate the calls from those folks who are saying, listen, we're struggling and we're just trying to make ends meet. And yet we want to be wise and faithful stewards. Maybe we've made a mess of things in the past, or maybe things outside of our control have just really caused some challenges. And now we find ourselves in a place where we're struggling, but we want to do it God's way. And boy, that's a hard posture that God honors without question. The key is to hold it loosely and trust Him. Don't rob Him of the opportunity for intervening by pulling out that plastic. Let's invite Him in and see how He provides even miraculously through others around you. So with that, let me say thanks. Thankful for Sandy and Taylor and Devin. Everybody here at FaithFi certainly couldn't do this without them and without each of you listening and calling. So thanks for being a part of the broadcast today. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.